As I've listened to all the lessons this morning, I have been impressed with all of them. I commend every one of them to you. I've also been impressed with the idea of how many times the book of Deuteronomy has been used and quoted. In fact, my lesson is going to be from there this morning. Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter and verse 14. The word Deuteronomy is an interesting book. The book is sometimes called the fifth book of Moses. But the word Deuteronomy, if you break it down, deuteros means second, and nomos means law. Deuteronomy was Moses, by God's inspiration, giving the children of Israel a method of action. These people had been slaves. They'd been wandering in the wilderness as nomads. They had no idea how to live as a community. And so Moses gave what might be called a second law to these people, so they might know how to act. They might know how to possess the land. They might know how to live with their neighbors. And it is to that I want to speak this morning. The ancient lands of Canaan were to be divided by the children of Israel. And there were guidelines to see that each family kept possession of their family land. In Deuteronomy 19, verse 14, the scripture says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it." Careful genealogies were kept. Rigid laws were enforced to see that that land was kept in the families and that it could be reclaimed when the years of Jubilee came. Markers for this land were set up. They were usually made of stone because of their long-lastingness and their stability. And they would serve as landmarks to let the families know where they could let their flocks graze, where they could plant their crops, where they could build their houses, their dwellings, and where they could build their fences. Today, we still use landmarks, but we use landmarks in the form of surveys and surveyors. Every home that is bought and sold in this country today comes with a surveyor's affidavit of legal status, along with every deed and property transaction. There was a danger with people moving the landmarks. In fact, the scripture that we read for you to introduce that talks about that. Deuteronomy 27, verse 17 says, "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark." Proverbs 22, 28 says, "Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." Proverbs 23 and verse 10 says, "Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless." Now there's a reason that these landmarks were not to be moved. It kept things stable, secure, and correct. It kept confusion at bay. And it helped people identify what is mine, what is yours, and separate those things. But there were some that did move those landmarks. And the Bible tells us when they did that, they were wrong. Job 24 and verse 2 says, "Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof." Hosea 5 and verse 10 says, "The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water." In like manner today, my friends, in the New Testament age, we have spiritual landmarks that God has given us. When we decide to move these landmarks, or even in some cases, remove them completely, there can only be confusion. You know what the Bible says about confusion in the church? 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." I'll tell you something, brethren. When there's confusion and there's problems in the churches, it's not God's fault. It's because men have made the problems. And they've caused the confusion by moving or removing the landmarks. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 15 says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Now, you know how it gives a lot of people problems? Many people grow up thinking that their parents and the establishment and the established church is narrow-minded and out of touch with reality, and they fail to grasp what life is really all about. The zeal of youth wants to make a difference, and they think the only way they can make a difference is by changes, by trying new ideas and anything new, sometimes just for the sake of trying something different. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 10, the wise man says, "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us." The warning from God is to continue in the ways that are established and true. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, a passage we all know and love. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Philippians 3 verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample." 2 Timothy 1 verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Titus 2 and 7, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Ancient ways, patterns, and examples, what have they got to do with us? Do they apply to the church today? Yes, they do. There are those today who want to change the landmarks. They want to change the rules, the laws, the patterns that God has set up. They attack the old ways as old and outdated and unnecessary. You know what I don't understand about people moving landmarks? They're not just satisfied with moving their own landmarks. They want you to move yours too. They want us to change. They want us to stand by and pat our foot and agree with the changes they're making. They're not happy just changing on their own for change and leaving everybody else alone. They don't want everybody around them to change. They're not comfortable unless everybody else changes. These people want to be progressive. You know, I guess it's all right to be progressive if it's progressing closer to God. But when people are progressing away from God, it brings forth sin and folly. James 3 and 16 says, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." What does progress of that type do? Denominationalism is one result of such progress and removing of landmarks. Division is another, because people want to be progressive at any cost. Modernism has affected even many of our digressive brethren today. They're fighting it tooth and nail. They're calling for a return to the Bible. You know, I got a friend back home that is an elder in name, at least, of a big digressive church there in town. He told me the other day, he said, "We got a problem. We got a bunch of people that want to start an alternate worship service, and they want to have instruments. So I don't know what we're going to do about it." Now, we had quite a discussion about that, you might understand. They're fighting it. You know, we look out and we see other religions growing. We see members leaving the church and going off to some man-made religion. We see politics of leadership. We see a lack of leadership. I'm so glad people have been talking during this meeting about leadership. We're in a struggle. We're in a battle to maintain the ancient landmarks. The landmarks we must keep are the following: truth, patterns of sound doctrine, and God's Word. And the way we keep them is by support and by studying the Word of God. We need to support the teaching and sponsoring of the gospel. We need to also know enough about the landmarks that we can recognize when they're different, and sometimes when they're removed.